Well, I do want to thank Reverend Elliott and indeed the session for the kind invitation to come along, not only tonight but even to the mission. You know, initially I wasn't sure if I was coming. I don't know if you heard the story, but when Reverend Elliott sat down with the session, they began to discuss the mission coming up, and he said to them, "Who do you want to have?" They said, "Well, we want the best preacher in the Free Church." So off he went and he phoned, and he got told no. So he came back to them again. And they said, "Well, if we can't get the best preacher, we'll have the best theologian in the Free Church." So off he went and phoned. He got told no again. So the men said, "Well, in that case, we'll have the best looking minister in the Free Church." And off he went and phoned, and again he got told no. So he went back to them, and they said, "Well, look, why don't you try the Aussie in Portavergie?" So he phoned me, and he said, "Will you come?" And I said, "Well, since this is now the fourth time you phoned me, I suppose I'll have to come." So it is a joy and a delight to be here this evening. Do please pray for us over the next couple of weeks. We're looking forward to it tremendously. We're looking to the Lord to do great and wondrous things. Of course, our hope and our faith is in God and not in man. And we do trust the Lord will come and bless us richly. To God's people, I would say, please pray. Not just because you expect me to say that. We need to pray. The Bible says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if you had loved ones in night by night by the mission and you weren't praying? Oh, that God won't point the finger at us during this mission and say, "Ye have not because ye ask not." Also, put legs to your prayers. Invite people in. Seek to bring them in. And we do trust that night by night the Lord will come and he'll meet with us and he'll bless us. Well, we're going to move on then tonight as our time is rapidly running away. And we're going to turn tonight to 2 Kings in chapter 6. Second book of Kings in chapter 6. We want to read a couple of verses and then move on into chapter 7. Turning first of all to 2 Kings chapter 6 and the verse 24. We want to read verses 24 and 25 and then move over into chapter 7. Second Kings chapter 6 and the verse 24, and it says, "And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." Now if you turn over to chapter 7, 2 Kings chapter 7 in the first verse, "Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went in into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then said they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Then if we go down to verse 16 in the same chapter, And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God, and said, Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word tonight. Let's bow together in a brief word of prayer, and then we'll come to this passage of scripture, please. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we thank you even not only just for this Lord's Day evening, not, Lord, even just for this harvest Thanksgiving service, but also, Lord, for the beginning of this evangelistic gospel meeting. And Father, we come before thee, and Lord, we pray that thou would come at the very first night of this mission. And oh, that God would be our portion. Lord, open the very windows in heaven as we've read here. Pour out such a blessing upon us tonight, there wouldn't be room enough to receive it. Lord, we pray that you would bind, rebuke, and paralyze the devil tonight. Keep him out of this meeting. May he not snatch away the seed of the word of God as it is sown. But oh, that tonight the very Spirit of God would come and speak not only to the ear, but most of all to the heart, even to the very hearts of those in this meeting tonight, whom, Lord, are known and loved and prayed for by many, but are still outside of Christ. Come, Lord, we pray. To that end we do ask. Empty us now of sin and of self. Cleanse us with thy blood. Anoint us with the Spirit of God and with fire from heaven. And oh, that the excellency would be of God and not of man. For we ask it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We're coming tonight to a special Thanksgiving service, Harvest Thanksgiving. It's a wonderful thing to be able to thank God for all of his provisions. But of course, there are places in the world, there have been times in the world, and people in the world who have not had enough. And you find here in this passage of Scripture that we've just read in 2 Kings chapter 7, that Israel was under siege by the Syrian army. All of their supplies had been cut off. The nation was starving to death. There was no way out. There was no way of escape. They were vastly outnumbered by one of the most powerful armies in their day and generation. So to escape was impossible. To go forth and to fight was out of the question because they were so outnumbered. And as a result, it seemed that fear gripped them. They were afraid. But the Israelites had forgotten 2 important things in the midst of this. They had forgotten the might of their heavenly Father to provide a miracle, and they had forgotten the right of a holy faith to expect God to work. And God did the unexpected. And God did the impossible, because our God specializes in both. And the Lord sent an invisible angelic army, and he caused that vast Syrian army to hear a sound as if they were being attacked on all sides by a multitude of armies. And as a result, that Syrian army turned tail and they ran with such haste and such fear that they left behind them in their camp all of their food, all of their money, and all of the clothing that they brought with them. They left with them everything that the Israelites needed. Yet no one would ever have known if it had not been for the boldness of 4 lepers who had the audacity to discover what happened. And because they did, an entire nation was delivered from famine. Now always keep in mind that Old Testament miracles are like New Testament parables. Yes, we have here an accurate biblical history, but these are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And so as we come to look at this passage of Scripture tonight, perhaps tonight you'll see yourself in this passage of Scripture. Always remember the Bible is like a mirror for us to look into and to see ourselves, to judge ourselves, and to see what the Lord would say to us. So let's look at this passage of Scripture and see what we can learn. The first thing we notice here is the situation they faced. What was the situation they faced? They were starving. You find that in those first two verses we read, 2 Kings 6, 24 and 25, it tells us, "And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." Things were bad. They were starving. Things were so bad that they were selling donkey heads for 80 pieces of silver. Now, I don't know what you're going to get for supper tonight, gentlemen, when you get home, but I think it's a safe bet to say you won't be sitting down to a donkey head and being told to enjoy. Just imagine how hungry they must have been. A donkey head for 80 pieces of silver. But if you think that's bad, it got worse. Because for dessert, they were selling dove's droppings for 5 pieces of silver. Things were bad. But things got even worse than that. Now you may say, well, how can it get worse than donkey heads and dove's dung? Well, you'll find we didn't read it, but you'll find that if you were to read on from those verses there in chapter 6, you'll discover that the people were so hungry, the famine was so severe, that they even turned to cannibalism. There was a mother who came before the king to get a dispute between her and another mother settled. You can see it there in verses 28 and 29 of chapter 6. "And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son." People turn to desperate measures in desperate situations. And you'll find that as we look out upon this world tonight, there are many parts of the world that is indeed still hungry. In fact, 1/3 of the world's population still goes to bed hungry every night. We're here tonight, the church is well decorated. Physically, we're not starving. But I believe that as you look at the Scriptures, there's a far greater famine in the world tonight. It's mentioned by the prophet Amos in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, for it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a great famine in the land." But then he goes on to say, "Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And if the answer to a physical famine is food, then you find that the answer to a spiritual famine is faith. And the world is hungry tonight. And the reason why it is feeding on filth and savouring on the sin of this world is because there's a famine of the Word of God. Lost people are hungry. And they're trying to satisfy themselves with all the things of the world. Augustine was right when he said, "The heart is restless, and it will not rest until it finds its rest in God." They were starving. They were hungry. And you know, that's why we're having a gospel mission. Because there's people indeed in Portadown tonight, and they're not feeding upon the Word of God. Just think, there are homes indeed in Portadown tonight where prayer is not want to be made. Where the Scriptures are not opened. Where indeed God is not given His rightful place. And perhaps there's even someone here tonight, and in your heart of heart, you know that you've been out in the world and you're searching to find happiness. You're searching to find contentment. And you've tried everything the world has to offer. But you're still not satisfied. There's still no peace in your heart. Because the Bible says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Oh, how we need to lean upon the Word of God and feed upon it. They were starving. You find also they're very susceptible in the position they're in. In verses 26 and 27 of 2 Kings 6, it says, "And the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, and there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee?" In other words, there was nothing he could do. Money was no help. They couldn't buy their way out of the position they were in. Influence was no help. They didn't have any. The government was no help. In fact, it was part of the problem. Education was no help, because the more they learned, the less they liked as far as the position they were in. And similarly tonight, if you're in this meeting and you're without Christ, let me say this evening, on your own without the Lord, you're in a helpless position. You may think tonight you don't need God. You may think tonight that you don't need the Lord. But I'll tell you something, when you come to death's door, you'll discover that money in the bank's no use to you. You'll discover indeed that the influence you have in the world won't do you any good when you come to breathe that last breath. You'll find there's only one who can help you, and that is the Lord. And that's what we're going to be preaching during this mission, that Christ is the answer. Praise God, Christ came into the world to save sinners. You may find out too late that only God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And that's why you need the Lord, and you need Him now. They were starving, they were susceptible. And oh, the sadness of the people. In verse 30 of 2 Kings 6, it says, "And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes. He passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh." Even the very king upon the throne could do nothing. In those days, when a man would tear his clothes and put sackcloth upon his body, it was a sign of the fact that he was in utter desperation. It was a sign that all hope had gone. It's been said by some that the saddest word in the English language is the word hopeless. Someone has said man can live about 40 days without food. He can live about 3 days without water. He can live a few minutes without air, but he can only live 1 second without hope. And perhaps you're in this meeting tonight and you're not converted. You're not a Christian. Then you're in a lost condition because you don't know the Lord. And my, how our heart goes out to you tonight, friend. Because we've been there. We've been in that very position. I've testified in this church before, told you that I was an atheist in Australia before the Lord saved me. I know what it's like not only to live but to grow up without God, to live without God, to deny the very existence of God. You may sit in this meeting and say, "Well, I'm no atheist tonight." Perhaps not. But if you're not saved tonight, even though you may say, "I know there's a God in heaven," the reason you haven't come to Christ is because you don't believe. If you'd only believe tonight, then before even the preacher would finish, you'd be running up into the pulpit saying, "Reverend Elliot, point me to Christ," because none of us know what a day may bring forth. And as we look here at this passage of Scripture, that's the situation these people were in. Let me ask you tonight, what's your situation in life? If the Lord were to come and take you tonight, before the daylight comes in the morning, could you say it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord, which is far better? Or would you be lost tonight? The situation they faced. But then I want you to notice also here, 4 men who stepped out by faith. You see, the story now turns as we come into chapter 7, and our attention is focused on these 4 lepers. These 4 lepers also were starving. They were in a famine. But they went from a famine to a feast, from rags to riches, because they decided to step out by faith and to discover what was just waiting for them. You see, the Israelites were besieged by this army. But when these lepers went forward, they found the army was gone, that the spoils of victory were theirs to enjoy. And these 4 lepers are a picture of the soul who by faith comes and finds that the victory has already been won in Christ. These lepers didn't have to go forward and fight the Syrian army. They didn't have to take up sword and spear, because God had already brought deliverance. And you know, folks, it's a wonderful thing when we come to consider the gospel tonight to say to you, you don't have to clean up your life. You don't have to try and gain acceptance with God. You don't have to try and work your way to heaven. You don't have to buy your way to heaven. Praise God, the victory's already been wrought at Calvary. Christ has done it all in a once, never to be repeated, sacrifice for sin. He's paid the price that was our due. And all we need to do is come tonight and receive salvation as a free gift. Everything was here for them freely. Just think about these men. We're told there in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 7, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." I have to say, I like the attitude that these men have. What they're saying is, why should we sit here and soak and sour in this miserable condition? Let's step forward by faith. Let's do something. Even if we do the wrong thing, let's do something. Because if we sit here and do nothing, we'll die. Now, they could have sat there and done nothing and just played it safe. They could have just stayed right where they were. And of course, if they had have just stayed where they were and hadn't exercised faith and gone forward, what would have happened? They would have died. They were starving. There was no food. These men were going to perish if they did nothing. And do you know what you have to do tonight to miss out on heaven, to miss out on salvation, to miss out on the very love of Christ and the peace of God that passes all understanding? Do you know what you have to do to miss out on it tonight? Nothing at all. Just do nothing. Just sit there. Just look back over your life tonight. What age are you tonight? Whether you're young, whether you're old. If you're in this meeting tonight and you're not converted, you've lived your life so far. You've sat, you've walked, you've talked, you've lived. But tonight you're sitting there. And if you do nothing with Christ, then you'll just sit until you die. And that's what these men are telling us. Why sit we here until we die? You know, for a man to starve to death, what's he got to do? Nothing, just not eat. For a man to die of thirst, all he has to do is not drink. And in the same way, if you want to starve to death spiritually, all you've got to do is nothing as far as Christ is concerned. Just refuse Christ, who is the bread of life. If you want to thirst to death spiritually, just refuse Christ, the living water. If you want to spend eternity separated from God, you don't have to burn Bibles. You don't have to shake your fist at heaven. You can live a good life. You can go to church every Sunday. But just do nothing as far as Christ is concerned. Oh, the devil's happy to have you even have a Bible and say a prayer and go to church and sing a hymn. But as far as Christ is left out, how many people are there in how many churches tonight? And yes, they're religious, but they're not saved. Wasn't religion that saved me. I got saved before I even set foot in any church. I got saved at home. It's Christ that you need. And how many people are in the world and they just keep putting it off. I'll get saved one day. And they go through their whole life and they've done nothing with Christ. I wonder tonight, how many gospel meetings have you sat in? How many preachers have you heard plead and pray and preach to you to come to Christ? And so far in your life, what have you done with the Savior? Nothing. You haven't accepted Him. Friend, that's why you've got to come tonight. Don't worry about a mission that's going to continue for a couple of weeks. Today is the day of salvation. None of us knows what a day may bring forth. I could quote names tonight of people who have sat in free Presbyterian churches on a Sunday, and before the next Sunday came, they were out into eternity. We know not what a day may bring forth. And then notice in 2 Kings 7, verses 5 and 6 there, these men decide to get up, it says, and they rose in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. If these four lepers had not have gone, got up by faith and stepped forward and gone into the camp, they would never, ever have discovered the blessings that God had waiting for them. And it's interesting, they're lepers. Leprosy is a very accurate picture of sin in the Bible. You see, every one of us, while we may look nice on the outside, dressed and groomed and sitting here tonight, every one of us in our bodies have a disease that is killing us, and that disease is sin, a spiritual leprosy. And yet here's these lepers, and all they do is step forward by faith. And if they hadn't have done, they would have missed out. And I wonder tonight if there's anyone who's going to come into this meeting, come into this mission, and they're not going to exercise faith in Christ, and they're going to miss out on the blessing of God. It always worries me when a mission comes to a close. And you can wait and see what happens here in Portadown, but so often the Lord just seems to give so many people that extra time of grace until a mission comes. And as soon as a mission is over, it's amazing how the angel of death can sweep through an area. Again, I could give you example after example. If you're in this meeting tonight and you want to be saved, let me say it's not enough to decide even that you want to be saved. It's not enough even to decide that you can be saved. You need to come and get saved this very night. You need to come and be born again of the Spirit of God. You need to get the joy of salvation come in. Because these lepers, they got up, they stepped out, they walked down, and they discovered the very wonders of the blessings of God awaiting for them. If I'd never actually exercised faith and repented of my sins and come to Christ, it wouldn't have been enough just to know there was a heaven and a hell and there was indeed a Saviour from all sin. I had to ask Him into my heart. I remember reading a story about a man who lived in a little house at the very bottom of a mountain. It was a great big mountain, and he lived his whole life there. And he'd never ever climbed the mountain. But in his latter years, they actually built a road right to the very top of the mountain. And so a friend of his came along one day with his car and he said, look, he said, jump in, he said, and we'll drive to the top and we'll have a look. And the old man got in the car and they drove to the top, and he stood on the summit of that mountain for the first time and he saw beautiful scenery from that mountaintop that he'd never ever seen before. And then the tears just began to flow down his weather-beaten face. And then he said to his friends, just think of it. I've lived all my life in reach of this and I almost missed it. I wonder if there'll be anyone in Portadown will stand before God on the great white throne judgment and say they were within walking distance of a gospel preaching church like this, but they missed it. Oh, how you need to come this very night. These lepers, they were now living like kings. They stuffed their bellies full of food, their pockets full of gold. And all of these things picture what? They picture the unsearchable riches of Christ that are ours by simple faith. I tell you, the food from the Master's table beats the donkey heads and the dove dung that the world has to offer. But notice that all of this was done by the Lord. It was God who defeated their foes. It was God who furnished them this great bounty. It was God who provided them with this fortune. It was all theirs by grace. They stepped forward by faith and they received it by grace. Doesn't it remind you of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. These men just stepped forward by faith and received the riches and the blessings freely. Let me say tonight, all you've got to do
has stepped forward and come. The Lord says, behold, I stand at the heart's door and knock. And if any man open that door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. The situation they faced, the four men who stepped out by faith. Then, as you look here at this wonderful story, there's one more thing here that shines forth as a warning to those who read this passage of Scripture. We also see here a man who spurned this fantastic news. You see, the nation was saved. It was delivered. They were eating, they were drinking, they were making merry when they discovered all the food that was there, the riches that were there, the fact that the foe had fled. And everybody was rejoicing except for one skeptic who didn't believe. And because of his unbelief, he missed out on the blessing of God. How did he do it? How does any sinner miss out on the blessing of God? Well, he rejected the word of God. You see there in verses 1 and 2 of 2 Kings 7. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. So Elisha preached that God had promised, that God had given his word that the next day at that time, the flour and the barley that was impossible to get was going to be going out cheaply because of the great abundance of it. And as Spurgeon said, God's word was fulfilled to the penny and to the hour. But this man, he rejected the word of God. When you reject the Bible, when you reject the word of God, you can't be saved. Because you can only be saved by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But before we condemn this man tonight, I wonder if there's anyone tonight in the same position in this meeting. God has given his word. He's given you and I a promise tonight. And that promise is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you don't act upon that tonight, why aren't you acting upon it? Because you don't believe it. Because just like this man, you're rejecting the word of God. He rejected the word of God. Moreover, he refused the work of God. In verse 2, he said that he would believe what would happen if God would make windows in heaven. Well, bless his poor heart. He didn't know the Lord had already made windows in heaven. Even back in Genesis 7 and verse 11, we're told in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. In Malachi 3 and 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Praise God, that's what we're praying for during this gospel mission. Oh, that God would open the very windows of heaven, pour out His Spirit upon us, pour out His Spirit upon Portadown, and oh, that He would come and pour out such a blessing there wouldn't be room enough to receive it. I remember when I first came to Port of Ogie, we were sitting in a little church that had been built way back in 1958 by volunteers out of second-hand material, and it was just still standing when I came along. And I remember going in and looking at that church, and I prayed that prayer regularly in our prayer meetings, that God would pour out His blessing upon us in such a degree that there wouldn't be room enough to receive it. And praise God, we outgrew that little church because we had to knock it down and build a bigger one. Now, I know if I was to say to your minister, as he thinks about the debt, wouldn't it be great to outgrow this church and knock it down and build a bigger one? He'd probably have a heart attack as he looks at all the finances and what's involved. God is able. And it doesn't matter who you are in this meeting tonight. If you're not saved, if Christ doesn't abide within, it doesn't matter if you're the most righteous and most loving person in Portadown, or whether you're the biggest sinner that ever walked upon the face of this earth. The Lord can save tonight from the guttermost to the uttermost. It's not your righteousness, for your righteousness is as filthy rags. You need tonight the imputed righteousness of Christ that comes by faith. This man rejected the word of God, refused the work of God. And then in verse 17, he received the wrath of God. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate, and the people trod upon him in the gate. And he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. This man didn't believe. And what happened? He got trampled to death by those who did believe. You know, folks are getting saved. People are coming to Christ. And I wonder if you're in this meeting tonight and perhaps you've got friends or family members that have come to Christ. And I would say to you tonight, isn't it true you've seen a great change in their lives? They're not perfect. None of us are. We sin daily in thought, word and deed. But their life has changed. They're a new creature in Christ. And that friend or that loved one in Christ, who perhaps has invited you or brought you along tonight, they're the greatest witness to the truth of the gospel. We can't fix our eyes literally upon Christ tonight, but you can fix your eye upon that born-again believer that's with you this evening. Won't you come tonight? Won't you come and place your faith in their Saviour? Don't sit by until you die. But come to Christ tonight and live by simple repentance and faith for Jesus' sake. Amen.